The grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, and bring your saving love to fruition in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Reading from Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Word of life, word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 63 responsively. O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water.
Therefore I have gazed upon you in your holy place, that I might behold your
steadfast love is better than life itself. My lips shall give you praise.
So will I bless.
My spirit is content, as with the richest of foods, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips.
I remember upon my bed, meditate on night watches.
For you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings I will rejoice.
My soul clings to you, your right hand holds me fast. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now, these things occurred as examples for us, so that we may not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with testing, he will provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He said, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Some people want answers, and they just can't live with uncertainty or not knowing. You have to be careful around those people, because if they don't have an answer, they might just make something up. My husband used to tell this story on himself. He was living in North Dakota on the Turtle Mountain Indian Reservation, and the university was doing a study, something about education and Native American people, and Don ended up being invited, along with some other people from the tribe and some educators, to go to the state house to give testimony. Well, it was a combination of a very small airplane and a winter storm, and it made for quite a bumpy airplane ride. And everyone was quite scared as they were flying, and as soon as they landed, it was like this collective sigh of relief. And a woman turned to Don and said, "I wasn't scared at all, because I turned around and looked and saw that you had your head bowed in prayer, and I knew we would be safe, Pastor." So Don let her live in that understanding. The truth was, he had a six sack between his knees and had his head down. And the only prayer he was saying is, "Please don't let me throw up." Sometimes we make up things that we see in order to answer our fears or our concerns. It might not be the truth, but it makes us feel good. There was a group of Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices, murdered by Pilate on their way to make pilgrimage and to offer a sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem. And then Jesus adds his own bad news report and tells about 18 people who were killed when a tower fell on them in Siloam. When we're confronted with such bad things, we want an answer. And whether the answer is true or not doesn't really matter. What matters is that it makes us feel better when we seem to know. We want to know. Why do bad things happen? And so we ask, why did Pilate murder those people? Why did that tower fall? Last weekend in my hometown, there was a tragic accident. A mother, a father, and two of their three children were killed in a single car accident on the freeway. The oldest daughter is away at college. Imagine her questions. last Saturday night when a pastor and a highway patrolman showed up at her dorm room. This family was very involved in their church. The seventh grader and the 10th grader, as well as the girl at college, had attended a private Christian school. The mother is a nurse at the birthing center, and the husband is the social worker at the other hospital. Very involved in their Baptist church in Sioux Falls. Good people doing good things. The newspaper account of the accident said that there were going to be counselors available at the church on Sunday morning and at the school on Monday. Imagine the questions of the fellow parish members and of the students who were stunned at the deaths of their classmates and their parents. They wanted to know, and we want to know, why do bad things happen? And we also want to know, how can I prevent bad things from happening to me and to the people I love? Any answer to these questions is fine, just as long as there is an answer. We want to know why. We want to know something that makes us feel better about the situation. An answer that the crowd seems to cling to in explaining that death of the murdered Galileans and the tragic death of those 18 when the tower fell is that of retribution for sin. When bad things happen to bad people, their suffering is deserved. We heard that story from that David read in the first reading of all those bad things that happened because they were bad people or because they had done bad things. And we want to hear that so that we know that we won't succumb to the same fate as long as we are living a lifestyle that is law-abiding and that we pay attention to our own business. We find that answer in the Bible, that passage that was the first reading, and also in the book of Deuteronomy, where it says that disobedience that results in punishment, not only for the person who commits the sin, but for their children and down to the next generation and the next generation. But Jesus does not accept that answer. Jesus says, do you think that those Galileans that suffered in this way were worse than any of the other Galileans? What about those 18? Were they worse than any of the other people in Siloam that day? When the crowd is pointing blaming fingers, they must have done something wrong. Jesus doesn't join in, but he calls the crowd to account for their own sin. Unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. Jesus calls on us to focus not on what is outside of our control. He calls us not to accept simple or judgmental explanations. Instead, we're called to focus on what we are in control of, our own lives. And we know that's easier said than done. Sometimes my worries and my questions keep me awake at night. I'm not happy to admit this, but it's the truth. I worry and I wonder. I haven't seen so-and-so in church for a while. I wonder what's going on with them. Why did that guy or that woman have such a critical tone with me? I wonder what I should be doing differently to get more people involved. I have questions about the church. I have questions about the world, about global warming and world hunger. I worry about homelessness right on our own front steps. I worry about what I should be doing to curb violence and the critical tone. What about war and education and hunger in America? It just goes on and on. With so much bad and so much trouble in the world, why don't we just give up? cut it down, why should it be wasting the soil? In Jesus' parable, the vineyard owner says to the gardener, cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? And the gardener says, sir, let it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it. I'll put manure on it. And next year, if it bears fruit, well and good. And if not, then you can cut it down. I would have liked another line in that ending of the parable. I would have liked a little bit more. It seems to end so abruptly. If it doesn't produce good fruit next year, cut it down. Well, since you and I are sitting here today, we have been spared the axe. We haven't been cut down. We didn't get cut down like the men and the women and the children who fall victims to so many tragedies. We've been spared the axe. So the question is, what will you do with today? Our church has been spared the axe. We have survived as a loving congregation when many congregations are split apart with conflict and dissent. We've been given another year, thanks be to God. But we need to be producing fruit. We need to be bold and to take risks that will produce even more fruit. Whatever yesterday was like, questions and worries, disappointments and mistakes, we have been given the gift of today. And today, the gardener is ready to work for you, to work for us, nourishing us by his Spirit, forgiving our sins by his abundant grace, feeding us with word and sacrament so that we might bear fruit, more fruit. This time of Lent we are given, we give thanks to the one who has pleaded for us, who has spared us from the axe, who has given us today. So we don't squander the gift by living in our sin, but by living in the practice of repentance. Repentance means to change your mind. Repentance means to change your mind about the focus of your life. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the cross. Focus on your baptism. Repentance doesn't have to do with a single hour spent in church on Sunday morning. Repentance has to do with the other 167 hours that you have been given. The season of Lent is a time to focus not on who's a worse sinner or everybody else. It's not even a time to try to find answers to those questions that bother us. Lent is a time to focus on what I can change. Jesus said, I tell you, unless you repent, change your mind, you will all perish just as they did. Change your mind. Turn away from sin and turn towards the one who can bring new life. The fig tree in Jesus' story was spared the axe in order to produce more fruit. And we too. So how will we live? How will we bear fruit, more fruit this year?